Please turn to the scriptures, Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. Let us read from Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all the sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. Amen. So today's passage is an encounter between Jesus and the Pharisees. In the ministry that Jesus had in the Galilee area, he healed many people who were sick. But the Pharisees were watching Jesus healing people on the Sabbath and found fault in that. For the Jews, they were holding up to all the regulations and the laws of Sabbath, of doing certain things but not doing others on Sabbath. And they saw Jesus healing the sick on Sabbath and found fault in that. Now, on this particular day, this was Sabbath, and he went into the synagogue. This is written on verse 9, Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. It says, going on from that place, he went into their synagogue. And a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on Sabbath? He said to them, if any one of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. So as the Pharisees came to ask Jesus, is it lawful to heal on Sabbath? Jesus responds to them, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Jesus points out that a man is more valuable than a sheep. Jesus tells the Pharisees that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Now we can see the fierce opposition that the Pharisees were having with Jesus and the way he is healing the sick. Verse 13, we read, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Now the Jews living during this time did not actually have the power to put Jesus to death. But they would plot, and they would turn over Jesus to Pilate so that the execution might be carried forth. Now, verse 15, we read, aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all the sick, warning them not to tell who he was. So what is unusual here is that in verse 15, Jesus withdrew from that place where the Pharisees were. And as he went to a different place, many followed him, and he healed all the sick. And in verse 16, he says, warning them not to tell who he was. Now, this is so contrary to how people react, how people respond when we find someone healing and experiencing miracles of healing. People would be talking about it. But Jesus warns them not to tell them who he was. It goes on in verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Verse 18, here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. Now, in the Bible, we read from the Old Testament, especially of the prophets, what God will plan to do. And we read here that God used the prophet Isaiah to speak his word and his plan. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. So Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4 says, here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. So in verse 3, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, it refers to justice. In the Old Testament, especially in Isaiah, we read this word justice or righteousness. In the Isaiah passage, God uses prophet Isaiah to give this prophecy that as he refers to his son, that this is his servant. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. And this word justice refers to judgment as well as righteousness for the Gentiles, for the nation. But verse 2 also goes on, say, he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. We read the manner that Jesus came. In verse 3, we read, a bruised reed he will not break. And a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. So when we read verse 3, speaking about the bruised reed in a smoldering wick, this is talking about a person who has a broken spirit, who is broken from the discouragements and the difficulties of life. The smoldering wick refers to someone who's holding on to the last hope, the last straw. But we read about Jesus, God, who will not break the bruised reed or snuff out the smoldering wick. He is kind and faithful and gentle in showing his love and kindness. So as we look at this term justice and judgment, we are questioning, what is this justice and judgment? In different translation, it is also translated as righteousness. In the King James Version, It is also referred to as judgment. So what kind of judgment is this? What kind of judgment is he speaking about as he brings up a bruised reed and a smoldering wick? Now, the judgments that often are brought up in the Bible refers to death and the end. It refers to the consequence of sin that results in death. The wages of sin is death, and we see that as the ultimate judgment. So what this refers to is that all people who live in this world are living under the judgment of sin. There is no one who can escape from this judgment, this punishment of sin. But when God is bringing forth justice, he is doing it through his Son, Jesus Christ. So as he is bringing forth the judgment, it is not like in the court cases where the judge pronounces a judgment. We see that God has made a way for his Son to come into the world. God has allowed his Son, who has no sin, to take away the sin of the world. There is sin in the world. There is sin in each one of us. If we leave it alone, the end result of sin is death and separation from God. But how has God provided salvation for sinners? Please turn to Isaiah chapter 53. We will read from verses 4 through 8. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 through 8. Let us read together. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. So when we read from our passage today, we read about how God is the one who will not break the bruised reed. God is the one who will not snuff out the smoldering wick. And yet he allowed his Son to be broken. He allowed his Son to be snuffed out. He allowed his Son to be oppressed and afflicted. He allowed his Son to die. So when the people who saw the death of Jesus, they could not understand the full meaning of this. God sent his son into the world, and yet his very people did not recognize Jesus. They did not recognize or understand the significance of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see that God has sent his son to die on the cross for the sins of this world. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He died on the cross, but he was raised from the dead by God's power. And he is revealing his justice by the death and the resurrection. So when we read about this justice that is proclaimed to the nations, it refers to the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, even though he was put to death, it did not end in death. He rose from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And by this act, by this resurrection, we are seeing how God proclaimed the justice to the nations. So we are seeing how God is so tender and merciful in that he will not break the bruised reed. He will not snuff out the smoldering wick. In fact, he has led his son to die and raised him so that he would proclaim this justice to the world, that he would proclaim victory over death and sin in this world. So this is what Jesus, the Son of God, has accomplished for you and I. Now, Jesus told the people who were gathered around him, who've experienced this healing, not to tell others about him. But in a future time, we can see that after hearing the profession of Peter saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he began to tell them about his death and resurrection. And from that moment on, that final act of his death and resurrection, he would empower his disciples to become witnesses of the risen Lord. So it was no longer that he would tell them not to share this truth, but in fact, he would empower them to be the witnesses of the risen Lord. Now, what Jesus has done and how he has transformed his disciples is so different from the way people of the world act. We see how God sent his son, and now he has healed the many who were sick. He is revealing that tender love and kindness. He is revealing his unfailing love in the very act of his death and resurrection. Now, at the very time that Jesus would die on the cross, all the disciples were scattered. They were fearful for their lives and they ran away. But after the resurrection, he opened their eyes. He opened their minds. He gave them understanding about the words that he has spoken concerning his death and resurrection. And he empowered them through the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes on each believer, indwells in the believer to lead us to truth concerning who God is and who Jesus Christ is. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers the disciples to be the disciples and the witnesses of the risen Lord. You and I, as we put our trust in the Lord, are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. So the Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah chapter 42 is fulfilled as we see Jesus Christ completing his work of salvation in the death and the resurrection. We see that as each believer comes to believe in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we experience how God has brought about justice and righteousness for the believer. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to follow and to live for the Lord Jesus. We begin to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and power of God, God's salvation. So many times we do not know the Lord. Many times we do not experience the love that he has for us. So I want to share with you an interview that was carried out by one of the pastors in Korea. His name is Hong Jung-il, and he was instrumental in the Christian work that was being carried out in Korea, especially in the early years. So this pastor shares how he was introduced to the gospel and how he came to believe in the gospel. And many people, many believers who came after him looked to this pastor Hong as a role model for a Korean Christian. Let's hear the interview. This was done in a CBS Christian Now program in 2013. So the interviewer is asking about Christian discipleship. So he was a director of a Christian discipleship program, and he's asked at this time what that experience was like.
오늘날 한국 교회의 모습이 우리의 정확한 실력이라는 생각을 갖습니다.
So as he answers, he is saying that the present status of the Korean churches reflects the spiritual condition of the believer. He points out that in a very large mega churches that there is ample opportunity for temptations and things to go wrong. Well, when you look at some of the larger churches in Korea, you see that they are connected to many different parts of the country, and how money and power has corrupted some of the larger churches. He explains that there is great power in money, and with some of the larger churches in Korea, that they have swayed away from the truth. Now, sadly, we see how the Christians and the non-Christians in Korea really do not differ in their ethical standards. This young man is asking, how would you evaluate your Christian ministry over the last 40 years? So he answers that there is no one right answer, whether it is a failure or a success. So as I became a Christian, there are two principles that I hold on to. So one is, do I take on the Word of God for what it is? And then the second one is, am I applying and living out that truth? So in my generation, we were establishing new churches, planting churches. And at the time, in the generation of the churches, it was very legalistic. But for me, I have believed that that everything needed to be driven by the gospel, that one needs to be transformed by the gospel and be a witness of Jesus Christ so that they are able to share this gospel to others. Now, many of the Korean pastors and ministers were looking to the churches in America, especially the larger mega churches, and their pastors as role models. But as time passed, we heard of other pastors like John MacArthur, who began to criticize some of the movements of the larger churches in America. So the question was, what is so different about the lives that these people were living? For people who attended these large churches and went to worship, how are their lives different, people who did not attend church or people who did not believe in Jesus? So we often look to how people live and how influential someone is. And when we looked at some of the leaders and the prominent ministers of America, we saw some disappointing results. Now, in Korea, many of the church leaders were following after some of the ministers in America. But we see that there was a limit to what the next generation could do. So the focus should be on the ministers who are training and knowing the value of one person being transformed by the power of the gospel. So this person is asking about the instructions for the next generation. So he's asking about the current status of the Korean churches. So this renowned pastor, his name is Hong Jong-gil, he was very honest about his work as a Christian minister, about establishing churches, about preaching, and about experiencing the growth at that time. But he was also critical of very large churches that were being corrupted by the power of money and other worldly things. So he shared in his interview that he came to know the Lord as a young man, that he was trained through the CCC, the Campus Crusade for Christ, that he would often look up to the pastors in America as role models. So there were many very large and mega churches in America at the time, Christo Church being an example, Robert Schuller. We are also seeing how those ministries have failed, and we have seen how there really hasn't been substance from the lives of people who were attending these mega churches, large churches. Now, oftentimes, as we live out our Christian life and church life, many people don't even think about who their role models are and how they are to live out their lives. Now, for individuals, for me, and for others like me who came to know the Lord, we really did not have any other bigger picture about being a Christian or living out the Christian life. But God has been faithful in revealing Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. We are focusing on the message, the gospel message. We are focusing on who God is and who Jesus Christ is and what the significance of His death and His resurrection is. So as we look back to the churches in Korea, we see how as the gospel entered the country, we were so focused on establishing churches and bringing many people into the church. But we see through Scripture what God has revealed to us through the Old Testament and the New Testament. We see how God sent His Son into the world to complete His work of salvation. Now, this God that we look to, this Jesus that we turn to, is a God who will not break a bruised reed. He will not snuff out a smoldering wick. He has completed His work of salvation through His death and resurrection, giving us justice, giving us victory over death and sin. This is the Jesus that we proclaim. This is the Jesus who came into the world. This is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So, what is your understanding of God the Father and what He has accomplished through His Son, Jesus Christ? How do you understand and how are you connected to what Jesus Christ has done for you? Many people live their lives following the world and following the things of the world. But I pray that each one of us will stand before the risen Lord and be enlightened, that our spiritual eyes and the spiritual ears will be open to hear this refreshing and powerful message of the gospel. So this is a time to go back to what Jesus Christ has done. In today's passage from the Isaiah reference, Jesus says that he will proclaim justice to the nations. And this is referring to even the Gentile nations. Verses 20 and 21, Matthew chapter 12, he will not, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. So God sent his Son into the world to be the Lamb who takes away the sin. He is the one who was broken. He is the one who was put to death. But he ultimately is giving us victory through resurrection. And all the nations of the world, all the Gentiles, will be able to put hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we think about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that the way we live will be different from the way of this world. I pray that we will turn away from the ways of the world. I pray that we will be different from the people who do not know the Lord. Now, many times, it is sad to recognize that people who profess to be Christians are living in the same way as people who do not believe in God. So there are examples of these huge churches here in America. And many years ago, these churches were growing, and we were seeing that even they had large buses to transport people from their homes to the church. But we are living in a time when we are searching for meaning, for significance, for truth. So we want to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done. So we read from the Psalms how God's creation is proclaiming his glory. How even without the words, the creation of God is declaring his glory. We see when Jesus ministered to his people, we saw how he did not even have a home. He went from place to place. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, is now proclaimed all over the world, giving hope to the brokenhearted, giving hope to those who are poor, giving hope to those who are spiritually dead. So we see how Jesus suffered. He was afflicted. He was oppressed. He was ultimately put to death on a cross. He is the Lamb of God who came into the world to take away the sin. And now he is restoring us to a living relationship with God the Father. So we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see in the prophecies by Isaiah how Jesus Christ is the servant whom God has chosen. Jesus Christ is the Son that God loves. Jesus Christ is the Son that God delighted in, and he put his Spirit on him to proclaim justice to all the nations. So I pray that as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we examine our hearts and minds. We want to know how our lives are showing the truth concerning who Jesus Christ is. Now God has called us out of the world, out of the darkness and sin, and now he has ushered us into his kingdom. And now he has opened our spiritual ears to hear his word and to be obedient to his word. He has made the gospel message known to us, and he is leading us, giving us power to live out this Christian life. It is no longer through self-effort or our strivings, but it is through the empowerment through his Holy Spirit. We look to the gospel, the pure gospel, to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this gospel message has been proclaimed to all places. And we see now, as the gospel message has continued to spread, we are seeing different ways of faith that are expressed. I pray that each one of us will be found as God's people. I pray that we will come to know and understand the full meaning of the gospel. I pray that we experience the power of the Holy Spirit as he guides us and leads us. I pray that we experience this unfailing love of God. Now, God is a living God, and he continues to work through his people. So it's been a surprise and a shocking kind of revelation to hear about these pastors, very large churches in America, as being looked upon as role models. But the one we need to focus on is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one our eyes need to fix on is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. So we want to look to what God is doing in us. We want to look to how God is working through this church, through our church. We want to go to the Lord. We want to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God reveals his truth through the scripture. He teaches us, leads us, and grows our faith in him. So as we look to the Word of God, we see that his words are planted in our hearts. And over time, we will be able to experience the fruits of our lives, revealing the character of God, revealing the very character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a time to turn our eyes from what people say, what others say. It is time to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is no longer about different activities that we do in the church. It is really about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in what he has done. It is being connected to the Lord Jesus Christ in a real way, so that now we are called as his children. We are now called as his own. So the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord, is the one who knows all. He is the one who is with us, with you and I. So I want to share a testimony written by Sister Taeyeon Kim. This was written on May 12th. So the title of it is My Time or My Day. Will rejoice at the time of my day. John chapter 8, verse 4. John chapter 8, verse 56, it says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." John chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. Jesus declared, "Believe me, women, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jew." Verse 23, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." So God gave me a new understanding about this day, about how to worship the living God. And these are all being connected, that day of the Lord, the time when we will worship in truth and in spirit. And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, it says, "Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them went together." So Abraham believed that God would raise the dead. Abraham knew something about the resurrection, and it's so amazing to know how Abraham knew this. Abraham held on to the promise that God gave him, saying that God will give him descendants as numerous as the stars. And he knew that even if he gave his son Isaac, that God would be able to fulfill his promise. So as I look to the promises that are recorded from Genesis to Revelation, all of these point to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am amazed to see how Jesus is revealed through all the books of the Bible, And as Jesus speaks about his day, that this is the day to receive grace and salvation. So God has made this day real to me as well, where I am able to see what God has done. This day has come to me. Now I realize who Jesus Christ is. He is the true Lord and Savior. He is the Creator. He is the Sustainer of all life. So in the Gospel of John and in the other Gospels, it often refers to my day or my time. It is a time when God has allowed his Son to die on the cross. It is a time when all sinners have died with Jesus on that cross. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, all the believers are also raised from the dead. In John chapter 14, verse 19, before long, he will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. So God is the God of the living. He has raised his Son, Jesus Christ. And for those who believe in that, we surrender before the great love of God, and we experience this amazing grace through his Son. So God has given me a heart to wait for this day when salvation is given, this day when I will pray that people will come to know the Lord. I am rejoicing because God has allowed this day to come to me, and I pray that for those who are around me, that they will come to know and experience this amazing grace and love. So this day of the Lord is an amazing time. And as we seek his mercy and his grace, we are experiencing the fullness of this being shared by our members, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So this day is when a sinner turns from his ways to recognize and to know and to believe in the Lord. This is the day when we will see the glory of God. This is the day when sinners turn from their own ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to the Lord who has died, looking to his hands with the piercing, looking to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has revealed his glory. He has given hope to the hopeless. He has given life to the dead. And he has given much to those who are poor. He is a comforter to those who are broken in spirit. I am beginning to realize how God has prepared his Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we are seeing his glory that has been hidden. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for the glory that you reveal to us. Thank you that you wait, that you are patient to wait for each person to turn to you. I pray that your day and your time will come to each person. Amen. Amen. So as we look to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to look to what he has done for each one of us. We want to seek his grace and mercy. We want to experience the full power of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look on to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are humbled by his sacrifice. We are humbled by his death and his resurrection. We are humbled because God has now allowed us a relationship, a living relationship with him. Now we are living in changing times. As we live out this time, people are living in a very fast pace. There are many things going on. But we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to His grace and His mercy. I pray that we will know, understand these times, that this will be a time when we seek His mercy and grace, that this is the time when we experience salvation that comes from the Lord. I pray that we will experience this living God. God has called us uniquely in this time and place. I pray that we will experience this awakening, that we will experience this day when God reveals His great love and grace to each one of us. So we pray together, we seek the Lord together, and we want to experience the work of the living God together. I want to encourage you to continue to pray, continue to study the scripture, continue to be enamored by the truth that you encounter in the scripture. This next testimony is written by Deacon Sunny Joe. Promise like a dream and the time of Christ. So Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them," then he said to them, "so shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. So this is a story that I have heard many times, and even as a youngster, I look to this promise that God has made to Abraham. I also realize that Abraham was very patient in waiting until God fulfilled his promise. He waited for a long time. And and when he received his son, Isaac, God called him to sacrifice him. And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, he said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." So it is so strange that God has called Abraham to sacrifice his son, even though he has made this great promise through Isaac. He wanted Isaac to be sacrificed. And through this, Abraham experienced death and resurrection. In fact, this is what is referred to later on as he has shown the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Abraham believed the promise that God has given. He had to wait for 25 years to experience the son that God has given. And he sacrificed his son. He was about to sacrifice Isaac on that Mount Moriah. Now, in last week's sermon, John chapter 8, verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." So Abraham rejoiced at what Jesus would do, what the Son of God would do in fulfilling salvation. Thousands of years later, we see how Abraham rejoiced at what Jesus would do. God the Father, He is a creation. He is the sustainer of all things. But when Adam committed sin by eating from the fruit of the tree of good and evil, death entered the world. And something had to take the price of this sin. And God sent his son, allowed him to die. And as creator, God brought Jesus Christ back to life. So I'm seeing how even from the Genesis, God has begun to display his work of salvation, and he has been faithful to fulfill his promises. All of it has been accomplished. Now, even though God knew what he would need to sacrifice, he allowed his son to be sacrificed. He allowed Jesus Christ, the life himself, to be sacrificed. But he could not be contained in death. God raised Jesus, his son, from the dead. All of the promises, all of the prophecies that are recorded concerning Jesus Christ has come, has been fulfilled. Now, in this world, in our jobs, we try to find easy and efficient ways to do things. And it's often seem foolish to take the hard way. But we see how God took the hard way in sending his son to the world. And Jesus, as he took his last breath, he said, "It is finished." After death, he rose from the dead. And now he has opened up a way for us, a narrow way, but a way that leads to life. As we take this narrow way, I am filled with praises and thanks. I don't live now according to my ways, filled with fear and disappointment and grumbling. But now, as Jesus Christ as the Lord, I am living by his power and I am walking along with him. Now, there are times when I will waver, but he helps me fix my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Abraham was rejoicing at the time for that day when Jesus would fulfill his work, I am rejoicing at what God will do in me and in this church. At the time when Jesus will be coming, all of it will be fulfilled. And it is so exciting to think of this life, this Christian life. Hallelujah. Amen. So as we look to what Jesus has accomplished, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to how he has displayed his work. Now, when Jesus gathered his disciples, asking them, "Who do you think, who do you say that I am?" Peter professed, saying, "You are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ." Now, as the disciples were following Jesus, though, they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for their deliverer. They were looking for someone who would bring about defeat to the Romans and bring about victory to their nation. Now, as we are living in these times, we may be seeking the things of this world. We may be seeking the good life of this world. We may be seeking the things that we desire. But we want to look to the truth that God has revealed to us. We see how God sent his son into the world. He allowed his son to be afflicted and oppressed. He allowed his son to be broken. He allowed his son to suffer and to experience death. People are drawn to the miracles and the crowds, but here we see how Jesus, he revealed himself to the disciples. He's looking and revealing how the Old Testament prophet Isaiah has now spoken the prophecy that is being fulfilled. God has revealed His Son, Jesus Christ, His servant, His chosen, the one He loved, the one whom He delighted. He has given His Spirit on His Son to proclaim this justice to the nations. So as we read this verse, Matthew chapter 12, verse 20, we read, "A bruised reed He will not break. A smoldering wick He will not snuff out till He leads justice to victory. In His name the nations will put their hope." He allowed His Son to be broken. He allowed His Son to be snuffed out. He allowed His Son to die on the cross, and yet God has raised Him to life. In order to give new life to His people, God has allowed His Son to die. Jesus Christ, He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the one who has come to life from the dead. He has now given us victory over death in this world and sin. So we have received this new life. We have received this salvation. I pray that we will experience the fullness of this message, that we will experience the power of the gospel. Let us look to what He has done. Let us look to this day when God reveals His truth to each one of us. This is the day when God reveals Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the day of salvation. So we look to the fruit of the life that Jesus has given us. This is eternal life. I pray that we will lift up His name, that we will make His name famous, that we will continue to proclaim His name. Let us pray at this time. So God sent His Son as His servant, as His chosen, as the one He loves, as the one in whom He delighted in. He has put His Spirit on Him to proclaim the justice to the nations, and He has done that for each one of us. Let us come to know Him and to believe Him. Let us call out His name.